fills the gap in the bridge, the gap that was previously there. So we are now confident there is a funding package in place. That does need to be confirmed by Kent County Council's budget, that's in 13th of February. But we expect that to come forward to the February Candidates Board for approval of that funding, subject to the Strategic Board being happy and the Candidates Board being happy with the business case and things like that.
Okay, thank you, Rhiannon. So that's Thanet Parkway. Is everyone happy with that? Obviously, bearing in mind the very good news from prospective news from Kent County Council, Mike.
Yeah.
Sorry, David.
I think that's really very positive news that Kent County Council are prepared to put the money in the bridge there. The only question I have is it anything actually going to have started by the deadline? Not that we're going to be spending money after the deadline, which I don't have a problem with. Do you think it's going to have started?
The expectation, Chairman, is it will. We've got planning, I think, is in April this year, that we'll go to planning. After that, there'll be one or two contracts to put in place, not least the major contract with Network Rail, and that's all just waiting to be signed in February, the sort of terms of that. And then there's the other construction work with regards to the road access and the car park, other elements. So I think we're very confident that once we get assuming we get that planning in March at the week, and certainly make good headway by March 21 with an opening date of spring 22.
Graham, did you want to make a...
It's just to add the caveat that if for some arcane reason Kent County Council doesn't approve that allocation on February the 19th, I think you said, can this come straight back to the board for re-review? I think that's not unreasonable in those circumstances. Is that fair? I don't know.
If it depends on what the reasons are for the planning. I mean, if it refuses on something, and it can get back to the planning meeting and be sorted, I would hope that there'd be leeway to be able to do that.
And can I just say on that, Graham, my understanding is that there's huge support for the district
council. So it would have to be something. There's huge support, certainly, from the district councils and from locally and from businesses locally for the impact that the station will have. So I expect to hear those endorsements coming through loud and clear at the planning board.
Super, thank you.
So that's confirmed then, Rhiannon. So the next one is another Ken one, the A28 Surrey Link Road.
So this project, I think we're moving on to the ones that are slightly more high risk and more deliverability issues around this project. So this project is delivering a new link road in Surrey and Canterbury in Kent. The LGF contributions being used to deliver part of the link road, and other sections will be coming forward using developer contributions to the project. I think there's always been an issue around those developer contributions and timing around those. Planning consents for the developments that are due to be financially contributing to the project have not yet been approved. They're due to be considered approximately, I think it was February, March, isn't it?
Mid-February.
19th.
There we go, the exact date for you. So yeah, 19th of February, they're due to be considered. So I think it's a timing issue around this. There's also planning consent that needs to be secured for the actual development itself, so the actual link road hasn't yet got planning consent to be delivered. So again, that's due to be considered over the next few months. So I think there is a timing issue around this. If those consents can be secured and funding contributions confirmed, then the project is in a position to progress. But I think there are a number of hurdles to go through. An update is due to go to the Councillors Board on the 14th of February, so a few weeks' time, and that will consider these issues around whether the planning consent has been in place or not. So that deliverability issue, I think there is a need for Kent County Council to demonstrate that it is fully deliverable and the contributions are there, so the project will need to satisfy those conditions. So I think it's open up for discussion here today. Does this remain a priority? There are a huge number of houses associated with the delivery of the project, but perhaps they're not progressing to the exact timescales we originally expected when funding was awarded.
Okay, thanks, Rhiannon. Any comments or observations, Joe?
It is a priority project, but as well as I can understand some of the timing issues. Personally, for me, I'd like to see it being given a bit more grace and the extension to take through to the accountability board to see how those things have progressed from there. So I'd like to.
Thank you, Joan.
And once again, this I have it on good authority that this is going to the planning on the 19th of February, and it's going with the recommendation
I think, Chairman, the applications for the house building are going to Canterbury, I think, on the 19th. The road application goes to KCC on the same meeting as the Sustaining Parkway.
I guess the same sort of caveats. Can we just have a very early review if those hurdles fail for some reason or another?
Okay. So that's confirmed subject to Graham's caveat.
Yep. Chairman, just a general point, which applies to all the schemes. I think, and the comment has been made earlier, I think we've got to prove to government that we can deliver policy, that they want to level up the north, and there is a risk that if we're seen not to be delivering, that the funding will go north.
Yep.
So that is an important factor to bear in mind behind all these. Yep.
Just the Accountability Board does really scrutinise this. And for instance, in the Park, I think it's under the same scrutiny as this. And those, what you just said, George and Graham, about the caveats applies to that as well. We are all working together. That's supporting each other through
that. Really, just to pick up on what both George and Jeff said, it is if any of these projects find that their money is not and we're looking to reallocate on the list that we've already approved, the investment plan's already approved, clearly they need to be stress tested to make sure that they
absolutely sure
because things would have changed.
I think a very good point on that is that the list that's already been agreed by the investment to that pipeline is in place. Work with that,
yes.
And not look to start opening up the whole process again. I think otherwise we're doing ourselves well.
Ron?
Just to say, I agree, but also have to make sure that time is also allowed in there as well. Not just the money or can we, it's the time on that list. That's important.
Okay, so I'm going to take the mood of the meeting. This is confirmed, subject to the keeping this under close review. So we move on to the penultimate one, which is the Exeter Bridge.
Yeah, so the Exeter Bridge in Eastbourne in East Sussex. So this is, those are existing bridges at the end of its life. The bridge itself is required to unlock the Eastbourne local plan itself, which supports 6,900 houses. The way that the funding was awarded to this project, or considered by the investment panel, it's got an initial 1.5 million LGF allocations, tranche one. It also sits in the pipeline for a further just over 600,000 allocations to the project. I think the issues with this project is it needs that additional funding to be able to progress, so it needs that additional 600,000, which sits in the pipeline. But it also requires some additional funding, which has been bid for from the Department of Transport for a maintenance pot of funding. We're waiting for confirmation of that funding in April, and if the Tranche 2 funding comes available, we can then take that decision to the Council's Board in May for a decision on this. It does also require planning consent as well, so there are again a few challenges and issues around this project. It is a case of making sure the funding contributions are all in place, and that will be again stress tested by the Council's Board to make sure that's in place.
Okay. So, any...
Chris,
yes,
for the sake of balance, same caveat, please.
Okay. Otherwise, confirmed, Woody? Thank you, such a caveat. And then the final one is Innovation Park Medway.
Yeah, so the Innovation Park Medway and Norwich Airport site, there's various funding pots around this through the local growth fund. So there's a £4.4 million allocation to the first phase of the airport site, which ran reconfiguring the site, to unlock the land then for the actual commercial space, which will become a commercial development on the Innovation Park site, which also got enterprise zone status. The intention is to unlock 6,000 jobs at the site, and they will be supported through phases 2 and 3 particularly, which will deliver the enabling infrastructure at the site, so fine roads, the utility works, those sorts of interventions. So there's, the £4.4 million first phase. There's a further £3.7 million that was allocated to the second phase. There was also an additional £1.5 million that was allocated by an investment panel. That hasn't yet come forward for a decision by the Council's Board. When the investment panel supported the project, there were concerns raised about the deliverability of the project, and it was asked that the Council's Board considered those deliverability challenges. There are main deliverability challenges around the project. There's currently a local development order is required to build out the site based on the master plan, and there are challenges that have been faced through conditions, or not conditions, sorry, the views that have been put forth by Highways England, where they really want to understand the impact of the project on the strategic road network. So there's work currently being undertaken by Medway Council to look at the impact of the project on the strategic road network, so transport modelling and things, and those conversations are ongoing with Highways England. I think initially there were some challenges in those conversations progressing with Highways England, but I think Medway Council are now in a better position in terms of the engagement. However, it is an issue around the timescales. So we did expect the LDO to be in place by now, and again by the end of this month. The report suggests it will be in place by July, but actually I think the latest information suggests it wouldn't be in place until October. In terms of the delivery timescales for this project, Medway Council proposed it would take 9 months to deliver the project. So if the LDO was approved in July, it could be delivered by April. But if it's not delivered until October or beyond that, it wouldn't be until July or beyond the project actually delivered itself. Based on these deliverability concerns, the recommendations that we'll be putting to the Accountability Board next month are for the reallocation of the £1.5 million additional funding that was awarded. The rationale for that is because the investment panel supported it on the caveat that it had to demonstrate deliverability. I don't think we can say that caveat's been met. However, there is the £3.7 million allocation for the commercial space development that is also dependent on the LDO, which will extend beyond the greater period. And I think we need the Accountability Board to consider how we want to do that in terms of the conditions and the timescales and deadlines that we might put on that funding for the LDO to be approved. So again, a more complicated one. I'll open up for discussion.
Okay. Any questions? Yes, Tony. Tony.
This one concerns the greatest of estimate and five, we're considering purely on deliverability. It says in the report, timescales. Could I just unpack a little bit about the decision here that if the LDO isn't approved by July, that cost or LGF spend beyond the growth deal is expected to increase? You might have mentioned it, because this isn't great, but could you just put some numbers on that and the risk for that?
I think there's a number of actions that are required that Medway Council needs to go through, a number of steps. So in order to approve the LDO, they need to firstly understand the impact of the project itself on the Highways England network. So that involves transport modelling and things to take place. Assuming that identifies the mitigation works that are required, Medway Council needs to come up with some way of funding those mitigation works before we can then progress with the project and the LDO to be considered. Medway Council are also suggesting they need to go and reconsult on the LDO itself before it comes forward. So I think the main bulk of the spend will not occur until obviously the LDO is in place and construction can start on site. So I think it really depends on the timescales, and I think they're really unclear at the moment about exactly when that consent can be awarded to be actually progressed with the project. I don't have any figures because I don't know personally at the timescales for that LDO to be approved, and I don't think Medway Council can comment on that. But
I've got Adrian next, and then I've got David, and then Joe.
So well, I can show you, Medway is very much committed to this project. We're working through with Highways England. There's constructive engagement going on there. We have also approved the first building because we are actually sponsoring one of the buildings. That's gone through our procurement board. Funding's in place without notice of fact, because I chair the procurement board. That's in place. Work's going on with the LDO. On the ground, the archaeology work is being done literally as we speak. There's nothing significant being found. There's some evidence of an Iron Age village, which is the only very slight thing. So that work is very much in progress. So Medway is committed. We've put the council's money into the scheme for building. That is going on. The design work, again, is literally going on. As soon as we get the place, we can get spades on the ground. So we are committed, we are ready to go. It's just been frustrating with the delay with the discussions with Highways England, but those points are not insurmountable by any means. And we're all, as I say, we are working as fast as we can to get the LDR in place.
Okay, thank you, Adrian. So I've got David and then Joe.
Well, like a number of people around the table, I was obviously at the investment.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Reiterate what Brian has said about what the decisions were that were taken.
Yeah.
I have to say that we had discussions at the Statistics Board, and the decision there was that time has run out for this project.
Right.
Because of the concerns of visibility and the impact of discussions with Highways England.
Right. Right. Joe.
Obviously, for Medway, it's a great project. For the whole of the county. So could I know, it's not on the table, but obviously Dawn Hyde is working very closely with the project. Would Dawn speak just for a few minutes, and maybe you could ask the questions directly, because she might, before anybody looks to write it off.
Yes.
Just give Dawn the opportunity.
Dawn, speak. Dawn, you'd like to, you're on the spot, and maybe unexpectedly.
I appreciate the opportunity. First of all, I'd just like to say thank you to Raymond, who's worked really closely with my colleagues to really try and understand this really complex project. And I'd also like to say thank you to Jeff. It shows the power of the LEP and the federated model, that our complications and challenges with engaging with Highways England were absolutely turned around because Jeff wrote to them as chair of Kent Medway Economic Partnership. And from that day, we have had really good engagement with Highways England. So it just goes to show what the power of this organisation is when it uses it, it might. So we are really properly engaged with Highways England now and having regular face-to-face meetings with them on this. And they are absolutely committed to working with us to find a solution to their concern about the impact on the strategic roadmap of IPM. So we have decoupled the traffic modelling for Innovation Park Medway from the local plan traffic modelling, because that was what was causing a lot of the delay, because Medway's local plan is quite old now, and Highways England were having trouble assessing the Innovation Park Medway development in the absence of knowing what new developments were coming forward. So we are currently doing the traffic modelling for Innovation Park Medway and for the local plan. They're both being done in tandem. If the local plan modelling comes forward quickly enough, we'll put them back together, because, of course, it would be much better to have an overall position on the strategic traffic modelling for the whole of Medway, and especially for the M2 Junction 3. Highways England will be writing to the Accountability Board on the 14th of February to say that they are working with us and are confident of the solution. We will have all the traffic modelling done, and we will have consulted back with Highways England on what mitigation is required by July. And depending on what level of that mitigation is then, we will either be able to say that IPM will fund the mitigation because it's directly related to the IPM development, or we'll have to look at what the wider implications will be, that we'll need other development to fund part of the mitigation. So all that work is happening. I'm absolutely confident that this project will get away. We are we're doing the work on detailed design for phase three work as we speak, so we will be actually ready to go the minute the LDO is adopted. And it could be before October, because we can convene a special council meeting to get adopted. October was just the cabinet council date that the report would have gone to. So I hope that's going to be some more reassurance that this project is going to happen.
Really, this is one of the more difficult ones, the most difficult one. I suggest that obviously if there's a big waypoint on the Accountability Board on the 14th of February. It would be wrong for us, I think, not to confirm this at this stage, to kill it now. I think we just have to look at this very, very carefully. We have to look at it with the Accountability Board will look at it on the 14th of February. I think it needs to come back to this board in March again for a further review.
So can I just say that there seems to be quite a difference in information between what Rhiannon has given us and what we've now just heard. And I suppose the question is to make ensure that the Secretariat is getting the information that it needs.
Yes. Yes,
I mean, enable us to rely on.
I mean, I am aware, I'm personally aware of this project because clearly it was discussed it with the leader of Medway Council and Rodney, I think in October, at Medway City of Culture launch. I'm aware that Jeff was asked to write to Highways England, and that's happened. I said to Councillor, the leader of the council, and to Rodney, I said that I would be happy to step in as and when necessary and appropriate. So I think we do need to keep this under a real review. I think David's point about making sure that the Secretariat had the right the most up-to-date information is really important. And I think that we need to take this step by step because it is a more difficult one. There's no question about this, and I am. So we just need to take it step by step. I think for myself, it would be wrong for us to take a precipitate decision now to stop. But I do think we need to keep it on the what I would call the very significant watch list as we move forward.
Yeah.
Are people happy with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Chair.
Thank you.
Can I just add to that? My understanding is that it's obviously supported by the team.
Of course.
Yeah. It's a crucial piece of work within the whole of the Select area, not just KMAP. So to turn it away now, and what was said at the last accountability board, if I remember correctly, forgive me if I'm not quite right, is that this is also about the money that we're going to waste. We're going to throw away the, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of whatever's been spent already to get to this point, and what it's actually going to generate for that economy. So for us, it's good, I agree with you absolutely, but for us to kill it right now, it has to stay under scrutiny. But let's not forget the amount of money, public money, that's going to be thrown away if we kill any of these projects. To give them a natural life.
Yeah, although recognising that you know, there are other areas where we could spend the money that are crying out for it, so we just have
but
to.
But I think there may be other money. Absolutely, sure. Then we have to get it back on the books.
Miles.
If we have four projects pending approvals, is it worth getting one or two other projects rolling so that if one of the four can't be taken forward, then we're in motion rather than starting.
That's a good point. I mean, Rhiannon, you have a view.
Just up on here. So this is our agreed pipeline of projects. So the investment panel over the last meeting, there are recent projects have progressed with the amount of unspent currently available. So they agreed this additional £15 million pipeline of projects. Business cases for most of these projects were produced, but I think for those low down on this list now, I think it's worth having these conversations for these areas today. Have your business cases ready so that over in February or the next Councillors Board, if we are reallocating that funding, actually, you know, very quickly we can progress to these projects because it does take a fair amount of time to go, not just the funding being reallocated, but then actually for that project to come forward with business case and be ready for a Councillors Board approval and, you know, get underway with their delivery of the project. So I think particularly after the February Councillors Board meeting, we'll be in touch definitely with the scheme promoters to say, you know, get the things ready to go.
Good. So are these the further 10 that we have, where risk has been identified?
So there's a further risk, I think, around these 10 projects that have been identified so far. So for these projects, they're not currently forecasting spend to be on the gradual period, but there are large amounts of funding being spent during the final year of the programme where there is some risk for slippage. So I think when we're talking about these decisions, I think we've had really, well, for my purpose, we've been really useful conversations today to consider these in detail, because I think what we don't want to do is say, actually, the pressure's off for these projects, actually, they are going to have to come to this board and be really scrutinised and say why they should be going to go to the road. So there's just a risk around, you know, some other projects as well.
All right. Okay. Thank you for that, Rhiannon. We're done on that then. Thank you.
Can I just put a plea on those? I mean, the group worked really well together, and in terms of the transparency, I mean, Kent has added, like, I think, about 15 million because of projects that we had to accept and put it back as soon as we could do that. I think if any of these are likely, you know, not, let's put it forward sooner rather than later, so we can do exactly what we're saying. I mean, that's not that we're not supporting them, it's just there will be moments when you have to say, hands up, we're beaten, and the sooner we can do that, then we won't be able to.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Graham, final, I suppose, Graham and then Ron.
I think it would be quite helpful if a letter went out from the Secretariat expressing in slightly more formal terms what Jeff has just said. That would be not unhelpful in certain circumstances.
We'll mandate that. Thank you. Rob,
saying it wasn't formal, Greg.
Jeff, no, I expect florid language from you, from your Caspian background.
I think across the whole Kent and Essex and East Sussex, I think we all work together, we work very well. We support each other's projects as they come through. I just, in my own mind, need to have a figure that what is that number that government will see we've actually achieved or we've been successful in this thing, against being deemed as we've failed. Is it a certain percentage?
We need
to have in the back of our mind.
Yeah, it's good. That's good question, Ron.
I
think there's something about maintaining our positive reputation on delivery, because we've been consistently good on delivery.
We have
genuinely been consistently good on one in the upper quartile of LEPs, if not in certain years, the best LEP in terms of spending LGF. So, you know, maintaining that's important. I mean, and I think, you know, none of the numbers that, in any of the master spreadsheets, we can send you the detail, Ron, you know, are concerning. I think the approach we're taking is one of, you know, it's a really sensible approach to make sure that we can continue that trajectory of getting the spend away. Because
it's really important.
Adds to that case of, you know,
our credibility.
Needing more and wanting more investment down here.
We just want to make sure we're up there.
Definitely. Okay, thank you for that. So, I'm afraid a governance item. Poor old Suzanne gets thrown into the I think personal Suzanne.
Hello everyone, I'm Suzanne Bennett, I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Select for the new places around the table, and I am here to talk to you about governance, and hopefully somewhat more briefly than some of the discussions that we've had recently. Thank you, Amy. So, the National Assurance Framework is the more long, I'm not going to look at you, thank you, make me laugh, the more long-suffering members of the board know that we are required to have an assurance framework for the partnership. Governance for LEPs over the years has evolved. When LEPs started, there were very light touch organisations. There were limited amounts of requirements from government, it's fair to say, on how LEPs operated, how they set themselves up. That has changed over the years as more money has flowed through the LEPs, taxpayers' money. So obviously we need a robust and transparent governance process to do that. Government have since 2014 issued their National Assurance Framework. This applies to LEPs and also now to the combined mayoral authorities that exist in some areas. It's not a legal document, but basically if you haven't got a local assurance framework that isn't compliant with the National Assurance Framework, then you won't get any money from government. It's short and to the point fact of the matter. The NAF, so the National Assurance Framework, I try not to use too many three-letter acronyms to make it even more impenetrable. The National Assurance Framework sets out different levels of requirements. There's some very technical points in there around assessing value for money, which is what happens through the Accountability Board and what the ITE does for us. Some other points of the National Assurance Framework are requirements for us just to set out how we do things to be clear and transparent to people, and some points of it just set out a very basic level of governance that government would expect and that anyone really running a board would expect, like declarations of interest and so on. We do have autonomy in deciding our governance structures as long as they meet the minimum requirements and we publish what they are. So the local assurance framework is the local document that sits alongside the national assurance framework. It was started off just covering the local growth fund, but now it does cover everything, all activities that the LEP does. It's a reference document. We use it a lot in the Secretariat, and I know that other people out there, our partner organisations, delivery organisations, use it a lot. It pulls together all the different legal and policy documents into one reference document. It's a local document, so it can be changed. It's not set in stone. The policies there are to ensure that everyone understands what's required of them and to provide protection. If you were listening to the news yesterday, there was an item about Baroness Scotland and some things that have been happening there. So if you stay in line with the policies, then you won't be the lead item on the Today programme. Okay. So government asked the accountable body, BeachLet, which in our case is Essex County Council, to do assessment of a LEP's local assurance framework, and that's to ensure that it complies with the national assurance framework, and for confirmation that the processes, the decisions and behaviours of the LEP adhere to the local assurance framework. The Section 151 officer at Essex has to submit their assessment of that by the end of February. But if anything comes to their attention throughout the year, then they are obliged to contact government and let them know if there's been any misbehaviour. So the CELEP local assurance framework that I'm asking you to consider today, so this is a refreshed assurance framework from last year. The national assurance framework hasn't been updated this year for the first time in a few years, thank goodness. So the change